Thank you, Suzanne. I want to mention before we get started that this impromptu is also supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous contributions from members of WFMT's Fine Arts Circle. Every year, Poland celebrates its National Independence Day on November 11th. This is a commemoration of the country's resumption of independent statehood in 1918. And we're going to look ahead a bit today and celebrate musically with an impromptu featuring the very talented Polish pianist Igor Lipinski. Mr. Lipinski will be performing music mostly by Chopin, of course, some of the nocturnes, the preludes, and the mazurkas, and we'll also hear music by Ignaz Paderewski. To begin, here is a set of four Chopin mazurkas, the Opus 17, number 2 in E minor, Opus 17, number 4 in A minor, Opus 24, number 4 in B flat minor, and Opus 30, number 2 in B minor. Here is Igor Lipinski.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Igor Lipinski performing live here at WFMT, some of the mazurkas of Chopin on this impromptu, beginning with the Opus 17, number 2 in E minor, then Opus 17, number 4 in A minor, Opus 24, number 4, B flat minor, and Opus 30, number 2 in B minor. We have with us as well, in addition to Mr. Lipinski, the Consul General of the Republic of Poland in Chicago, Polina Kapuczynska. And for me, of course, Madam Consul, the fact that we're hearing all this wonderful music is a good reason to celebrate Polish Independence Day. But I'd like to hear more about, you know, what it really means to the country and to you folks and its importance. So hold forth.
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, we are very delighted to be here to celebrate Polish National Day, Independence Day, November 11th, this is exact date. In 1918, Poland regained its independence after 123 years of partition. And we were listening to Chopin, who was a strong supporter of Polish independence fight. And also we will be listening to Paderewski, who was a strong also supporter of Poland. He was a composer, pianist, and he was also a statesman and the first prime minister. I would like to tell you one important thing, that in 1919, the United States of America was the first superpower which recognized Poland, independent Poland. And after that, Poland faced a wonderful time of flourishing, amazing progress period. Unfortunately, then there was a period of World War II. But now I would like to say that it's an amazing time for Poland, for us Poles, and all American visitors. Poland regained its democratic shape almost 25 years ago, and we have made amazing progress. We are a member of NATO.
Great.
For the last almost 15 years. For 10 years, we've been the member of the European Union. We are, actually, we promote democratic examples, democratic standards throughout the world because of our solidarity experience. And I'm very proud to be Polish, of course, and I hope that all our listeners will be able to sometime visit Poland if they haven't done it yet. So thank you very much, Radio WFMT, for inviting us today.
And thank you for all this wonderful music that we're about to hear.
Thank you, Igor.
Igor, move your microphone over so we can hear you now. And let's talk about Paderewski, because not only was he an important historical figure and great musician, but he was very important to you personally, because I think, among other things, the reason you first came to America was to celebrate his life in a very interesting way. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, I always joke that I follow into his footsteps or his shadow. I first came to the United States to participate in a theater play at the University at Buffalo called Paderewski's Children. I was playing a role of a young pianist, which wasn't, as you can imagine, that difficult to do. In any event, the play was about the great statesman and virtuoso pianist Paderewski. And so, you know, I going back a couple of years before that, I grew up, I went to high school, Paderewski High School. Entered a competition when I was 12 years old, named after Paderewski, and the grand prize was a stay with your family and your teacher at a Paderewski chateau, manor house in southern Poland. So I'm very much connected to the to Paderewski from the very, very beginnings. And then when I started school at Eastman in Rochester, New York, I made connections with Buffalo Philharmonic and Joan Falada, the conductor over at Buffalo, New York. And as my American orchestra debut, I performed Paderewski's Piano Concerto. So I really love to support his music, and what a great person. And then, you know, I arrived in Chicago last year after being in Rochester, New York for 7 years. I'm attending Northwestern University right now. And I realized Paderewski gave 60 concerts in Chicago
alone
during his tenure. Here.
Yeah. So, and understand his effects were brought to Chicago after he died.
Yes, they were donated by his sister. And there can be found, I actually, as a matter of fact, I went this past weekend to see the Paderewski room at the Polish Museum of America. Mm-hmm. It's quite amazing. You can see his piano that he practiced on. You can see a pen that he signed the Treaty of Versailles as the prime minister. I mean, incredible.
Well, we're going to hear music by Paderewski, as played by you, next.
Yes.
And we're going to hear Chopin as well again. These are a couple of nocturnes. So maybe before we hear these two pieces, we should talk a bit about the nocturne in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, first, what Chopin made of the nocturne. This was really a very intimate sort of piece, wasn't it, in many ways?
Very, very much so. Nocturnal, music of the night. Chopin performed only about 30 concerts for public. Most of his concerts were at salons and soirees in the evenings. They even said that Chopin always played better after midnight. So those nocturnes are both inspired by the salon situation surrounding, but moreover, the melodic line is inspired by the great bel canto singing of the first half of the 19th century.
But he was a great fan of Bellini, wasn't he?
He loved Bellini. He loved Bellini, and he knew many singers intimately well, and collaborated with them as well. And he wrote a song cycle. And all his music is incredibly, incredibly melodic in that way.
Right, very lyrical. And the Paderewski Nocturne that we're going to hear, tell us a bit about that.
Very much, although written about, 40 years after Chopin wrote his Nocturne E flat, very much inspired by Chopin's input in that form. So you will hear chords, and you'll hear that emerging melody on the top of the keyboard. Interestingly, with the Nocturne by Chopin, I am going to add the original inscriptions that Chopin wrote down in his pupil's music. Uh-huh. That was later transcribed by Mikuli. And so for those of you who know Nocturne in E-flat major, might be quite something new, but I feel like we're being transported when we listen to that version to the times of one of the soirees that Chopin played at.
Well, let's hear that. The Chopin Nocturne Opus 9, number 2, E-flat major. And before that, Ignaz Paderewski's Nocturne Opus 16, number 4, in B-flat major. Here is Igor Lipinski.
Thank you.
Igor Lipinski, first performing the Paderewski Nocturne number 16, or rather number opus 16, number 4 in B flat major, and then the Chopin Nocturne opus 9, number 2 in E flat major. And we're about to hear some of the preludes of Chopin. And these, Igor, are really incredible pieces. In fact, this is probably the most incredible set of preludes ever. And of course, there have been many. And, yes. You know, you could either go the way of Bach, I suppose, and think about the prelude in that way, going through all the keys, or in the manner of Hummel or Kalkbrenner, where you're, you know, introducing a larger piece. That's another concept of the prelude. Yes. But this really doesn't fit either of them because they work so well as a complete entity, a complete cycle, or the other way around, just a selection. Mm-hmm. But there's a kind of integrity to them. There's a kind of unity, the way he utilizes contrast, and it's just remarkable in so many ways.
It is remarkable, and the unity is very subtle. So there are no motifs that per se that occurring motifs that show up in the consecutive preludes, but they fit so well as a performance of the whole set at once. As a matter of fact, I did it for the first time last weekend. It was quite something, I must say, for me as a pianist to take on all 24.
I would love to hear you do all 24, but you've made a selection of them. Can you tell me how you put this selection together?
Well, those four pieces are some of my favorite preludes of the set. We start with the E minor prelude, the prelude along with the B minor prelude that is the third on my selection, was played at Chopin's funeral at the Church of Madeleine in Paris. We have a bright moment of happiness in between of those preludes with the D major, and I wanted to give you a sample of how the set ends with the key of death, the D minor.
So number 4, 5, 6, and 24. The Preludes of Chopin, Opus 28, Igor Lipinski. Thank you. Just a taste of the Preludes, Opus 28 of Chopin, performed by Igor Lipinski. We heard the Prelude number 4 in E minor, number 5 in D major, 6 in B minor, and the final Prelude number 24 in D minor. Music of Chopin, and there will be more Chopin shortly. But before we hear that, to conclude the program, we're very grateful that you're in Chicago and you're studying with Alan Chow. You're in good hands, I must say.
Very good hands.
And I wanted to get some sense of what your studies are like and what you're focusing on and how it's going.
Yes, well, Professor Chow is a tremendous teacher and what a wonderful human being, first of all, which is incredibly important in teaching music. But he has an enormous sense of sound. So ever since I arrived last year, we've been working on sound production, and we're focusing on different kinds of colors that could be produced from the piano. And interestingly, for the past year, most of our lessons were focused on Chopin. I did the E minor concerto with him. Embarrassingly, I haven't done it till last year. Now I'm doing the Preludes. But Northwestern is a wonderful place, and I'm in just started my second year of my doctorate. So I'm meeting a lot of new friends, and I am very grateful that I can be in Chicagoland for the next couple of years.
While you're here, we'll have to have you back.
Yes.
Okay. Now you're going to conclude with what you described as sort of an encore of Chopin.
Yes, an encore of many pianists, but perhaps one of my favorites. And I must say I've played this piece perhaps over 1,000 times, and I never get tired of it. It's one of those bel canto nocturnes that we spoke about earlier. And yes.
So it's the Opus Posthumus Nocturne in C-sharp minor.
That's right.
Igor Lipinski performing to conclude this program the Chopin Nocturne Opus Posthumus in C-sharp minor. He began with four mazurkas of Chopin. Then we heard the Nocturne Opus 16 number 4 by Paderewski. After that, the Chopin Nocturne Opus 9 number 2 in E-flat major, and a set of four of the Chopin preludes from Opus 28. Thanks to Igor Lipinski for being with us this afternoon. Also thanks to the Consulate General of the Republic of Poland in Chicago and our audience, consisting of staff and guests of the Consulate. Our thanks to music producer Mary Mazurek and her assistant Tyler Rice. Also thanks to our producer of Impromptu, Louise Frank. These impromptus are supported on WFMT in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous contributions from members of WFMT's Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please consider joining the Fine Arts Circle yourself. You can become a member right now by pledging online at WFMT.com. Now back to Suzanne.